From Lakeshore Public Radio, this is Regionally Speaking. I'm Chris Nolte. Coming up on April 7th, Valparaiso University is going to continue the annual tradition of celebrating the life and work of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. with a very special day. And with us to talk about it, we have Byron Martin. He is the Interim Assistant Provost for Inclusion and Retention, and he's Executive Director of Intercultural and International Engagement at Valparaiso University. And Dr. Martin, thanks for being with us on the program today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Chris.
Will you give us an idea, some of the history that Valparaiso University has forged in getting students and faculty and staff and the community together in learning more about Dr. King's legacy?
Definitely. For over 30 years, Valparaiso University has held on the national holiday, Dr. King's national holiday, a day of remembrance and rededication for our community to participate in, to learn more about Dr. King, but really to dedicate ourselves to the work of justice and the work of inclusion in our university community and in the local community of Northwest Indiana. And that recommitment is something we wanted to keep doing, even in spite of the pandemic. And so as we've made some shifts in our scheduling to make sure we keep our community and our university campus and students safe during this pandemic, we started our semester a little bit later this year. And so we still wanted the opportunity to celebrate the legacy of Dr. King with our faculty, staff, and students all on campus in the community together. And so we shifted to April the 7th. And for those that don't know, Dr. King was assassinated on April the 4th in 1968. And nationally, on April the 7th, they held a day of memorial, a day of grief, a day of remembrance on that 7th in 1968. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to still have the day to have some synergy with Dr. King and remembering his work in this space. And so that's why we moved it to that day in April 7th. Mm-hmm.
I understand this year's theme has been inspired by a very interesting quote. Will you tell us about it and how it fits into, in particular, the fact that you have a very notable and important keynote addresser?
Yeah, definitely. So our theme for this year is Lessons from the Movement. Lessons from the Movement is a is really thinking about our current context and really understanding that as America, we just moved past the crossroads of a contentious election, you know, witness a stress-induced transition of power. And, you know, in some ways, they're still struggling to overcome this global pandemic. And so it's true probably now more than ever that we cannot rest on social satisfaction of you know, our current civic victories, but that we need to keep pressing to address the issues of racism, poverty, and violence against some of the most vulnerable in the American context. I think we see that this week in lieu of what happened in Atlanta more than ever. It reemphasizes the fact that we still have work to do. And so there's a quote from Dr. King where he says, this is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off, or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. And I think, you know, in this current experiment of American democracy, if we're going to have a reality where everyone can feel like they are present and can participate and be full heirs in the democracy that so many have fought and died for, then we must connect to the movements that have happened previously in our country's context and connect it to the contemporary movements that are currently happening and that have that energy. And so that's what we're doing with this theme, Lessons from the Movement. We're looking at past movements and looking at current movements and saying, how do we merge these together so that they last and that the power keeps moving through for change?
Tell us a little bit about the keynote speaker for this year's celebration. He's quite a prolific writer, scholar, and he has some definite views himself about what we're facing these days, I'm sure, which I'm hoping he'll bring out in his keynote address coming up on the 7th.
Yeah, no, definitely. Dr. Malefi Kenti-Asante is a notable scholar, a professor and chair of African American Studies at Temple University. Dr. Asante is really an amazing get for us this year. He has done some tremendous work in the field connected to Afrocentricity and how we think about ourselves in this context, in this American context. And mm-hmm. so he, as you said, he's a notable writer. So over 90 books that he's written or co-authored, and over something like, I want to say, close to 800 articles that he's put out there. So, yeah, so he is definitely a philosopher and a scholar. But he's actually lived and created some of the history. He was the first, he helped start and started the first African-American studies program there at Temple for a PhD program there at Temple. Mm-hmm. And he helped start that. And, and he's done some other notable things that I hope he mentions as well along his long life here. And so his work is notable, and what he's been able to do is incredible. I had the joy of actually working and traveling with Dr. Asante a few years back. And so I think there's a wealth of knowledge that he's going to bring to our campus and then to the broader Northwest Indiana community that's just going to be so beneficial in such a time as this.
Well, it's great to hear. Dr. Martin, I know he is also, and his bio says this, that he's the founder of the theory of Afrocentricity. Would you take a moment to explain what that is for our listeners that may not know?
The basic way I can explain that concept is that one of the things that happens as we are thinkers and scholars is what we kind of use is foundational for our scholarship. Where did our ideas and learning really begin? For most individuals, that in scholarship, that starts in Athens or starts in Greece, right? And starts in these in spaces that have more centralized in Europe, in European concepts, right? That then moves over to inform how we think about our lives, especially as we come into our Western civilization. Well, one of the things that Afrocentricity really encourages us to do is to actually look where Greek and Roman scholars kind of got their information from, which is from the continent of Africa. And when we move our scholarship and thought process and move our understanding that a lot of the knowledge and a lot of the origins of thought and theories are coming from the continent of Africa and in those spaces, we actually help expand how we think about the world, how we think about value, how individuals can see themselves in value, see themselves in history, see themselves as thought leaders. And so in the basic way, Dr. Asante moves and encourages folks to actually take a deeper look at where knowledge and the origins of knowledge come from and how it informs what we do and how we do that.
Now, since Valparaiso University is offering its celebration of the life and work of Dr. King virtually this year because of the pandemic, and there are probably other events as well, too, will you tell us a little about how they're scheduled going to be set? The keynote address that Dr. Asante is going to do is definitely going to happen later in the day, I guess, than what normally would be held. Will you tell us more?
Yeah, definitely. So we're going to shift the schedule because we do want the community to be involved and be able to experience some of these pieces as well, as we do each year. And so we shifted our schedule, and we're so excited. We're going to start off at 11 a.m. On that day with a partnership in the community, and that's a partnership, a panel discussion sponsored by the Urban League of Northwest Indiana under the leadership of Dr. Vanessa Allen McLeod, and so that partnership with the Urban League, they'll be bringing a panel together that's going to talk about lessons from the movement, what would MLK say, and that's going to start our entire piece out in the morning at 11 a.m. From there, we have three more incredible panel discussions that We'll be going lessons on building a lasting movement versus a powerful moment, lessons on listening, celebrating 10 years of the Welcome Project. Is folks may be familiar with the Welcome Project done by Liz Warfel and Allison Schutte as those leads. But they've been doing that in our community, having these incredible stories that are being shared from our Northwest Indiana community. Mm-hmm. And they've been doing that for 10 years now. So we're going to have some time to celebrate that and dive back into understanding what does it mean to listen to our neighbors and listen to those stories and how those show up for us in the world. And then Lessons from Experience, we'll have a piece for BIPOC professionals and navigating the workplace. And then lessons on character and integrity, leadership from the movement. And that's going to be sponsored by one of our university chairs, the Richard and Francelia Gozen chair on leadership. That's fairly new to our institution. That'll start at 4. And then our convocation with keynote Dr. Asante will start at 5:30. So to give folks the time to get home from work and tune in, and get that message from Dr. Asante. We'll have some other pieces the rest of the afternoon as well.
Well, that's great to hear. What ways do people have to be able to catch all of the events that are scheduled for Wednesday, April 7th, for the very special observation, this time virtually for Dr. King at the Valparaiso University?
So the first way that they can log on and register is by going to valpo.edu/MLK. And that'll give access for folks to register for the Zoom platform to be on the Zoom. Mm-hmm. We can only host, I think, up to 1,000 people on that. And the rest of it will be simulcast, live broadcast via YouTube on that same website. And so individuals that just want to watch, the YouTube is available and will be up and running that day. And for other individuals that want to connect in and be able to be a part of the Q&A and direct in the sessions, we're going to ask that they go ahead and register at the website.
Talking with Dr. Byron Martin. He is the Interim Assistant Provost for Inclusion and Retention and also the Executive Director of Intercultural and International Engagement at Valparaiso University. Dr. Martin, thank you very much for giving us the rundown on what's happening that very special day on Wednesday, April 7th, as Valparaiso University continues the annual tradition of celebrating the life and work of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. A motivational speaker who was homeless after dropping out of high school will be giving a virtual talk to help inspire students for Indiana University Northwest. Roy Suarez Jr., the CEO of Impact Truth, which is a company based in California, will impart to students the true importance of higher education. Here's Lakeshore Public Radio Sharon Jackson's full conversation with Suarez Jr., in which he talks about how he will convey his message.
What is Impact Truth, human development company? Tell me a little bit about that.
So we actually represent about 8 other speakers and myself, and so our work is going throughout the nation trying to inspire change and bring light to some of the issues that we're facing, social issues.
And you are speaking at IU, and that is on Friday. Can you tell me about that? What's the topic and what's the purpose?
The purpose of the Meaningful Friday is to inspire students to truly understand and the importance of higher education, education itself. And I'll be using my personal story of growing up as a homeless teenager to convey that message.
Tell me a little bit about your past and how you were a homeless teenager and how you evolved.
Sure. I first became homeless at the age of 14 due to domestic violence, eventually with my 9-year-old sister and 2-year-old brother. I was able to find a home for them, but I was not able to find one for myself. So I ended up living out of a bag for 2.5 years, couch surfing with whoever would take me in. I snuck into a hotel to eat in Dallas, Texas, and I had heard a speaker who talked about her life and all the adversity she had gone through, but her father always told her to ask, why not me? And she grew to be the highest-ranking Latina woman in the combat support field of the United States Army. And when I heard this lady speak, I thought, oh, my God, if she can make it, I can make it. So I went back to San Antonio, Texas, is where I'm from, went to my best friend's aunt's house. She had my little brother. And I took my little brother to this church, and I tried to live in the church. It's collateral. I was going to clean it for them. But my plan was I was going to work 2 jobs and make sure that my little brother had all his dreams come true. He was going to go to school, and he was going to go to college. And even if I didn't have mine, he would have his. But the minister said, no, you're not going to live in our church. You will live with us. The only condition was I needed to go back to high school because I dropped out. I went to high school, graduated, went on to community college. And in community college, the dean had asked me to introduce one of the guest speakers we were having. And it happened to be the same woman who had 7 years earlier was speaking in that hotel. I introduced her as a woman who gave me a second chance at life and never even knew it. 2 weeks later, I spoke at her book signing. 2 weeks after that, I get hired in her company for a three-month internship that lasted for 2 years. At the end of the 2 years, she was like, you know, you need to go. And I was like, why are you firing me? She said, because you need to continue your education. You need to keep going forward. Where do you want to go to college? And I wanted to go to the same university she had graduated from, which was Hardin-Simmons University in Abilene, Texas. I applied, got accepted. When I graduated from Hardin-Simmons, I was perplexed because I was like, why do I get to make it? But what about all the other kids that were like me? Because at that point in 2009, there was an estimated 1.6 million homeless kids. And I thought, what about them? Like, do they get the same chance I got? So before I used my business degree, I decided that I was going to live homeless one more time. And I was going to drive from L.A. to Jacksonville, Florida. And I was going to just try to find kids like me and tell them, don't give up. Life gets better. And education is one of the ways to make that happen. And I was naming that little six-month tour the Homeless by Choice Tour because I was homeless again. But this time it was my choice, not my situation, not my parents, not my extended family for not taking me in. It was my choice. But there was so much need in our country that instead of living out of my car for 6 months, I ended up living out of my car for 2.5 years, circled the entire country, and spoke to over 100,000 kids. No grants, no sponsors for this tour. It was money that I had to raise along the way to keep it going. It ended up running me over $200,000, but it was probably the hardest thing I've ever done, but the most rewarding thing because my life had changed from that point on as well. It caused me to reflect on my own life and deal with a lot of my past traumas in order to help kids, and it just changed the entire course of my life because my phone has never stopped ringing. I am now an international motivational speaker, over 1 million kids thus far from all over, and I'm still pushing forward, still doing the work.
So you're speaking at IU?
This Friday at 11:30 a.m.
Are you on campus?
I am not on campus. I wish I was. It'll be virtual. I do know that we're giving away several copies of my book, Homeless by Choice, a memoir of love, hate, and forgiveness, to students who are willing to take that challenge to chase their dreams and choose higher education as one of the paths. So I know that the application fee will be waived, and also they get a chance to win a copy of the book.
Registration for the talk is required. You can go to tinyurl.com/IUNinspire. It's been a year of living through the COVID-19 pandemic here in Indiana. When the stay-at-home orders went into effect in 2020, we brought you the story of an essential worker outside of healthcare who was risking his life to do his job. Dennis Osborne, a janitorial contractor who works at Eli Lilly and Company in Indianapolis. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Rebecca Thiel checked back in with him 1 year later.
I mean, who would know that, you know, like a year later, we'd still be fighting this. We've heard of people dying from this. And that's what I'm trying not to do, you know, where I'm trying to protect my dad. The holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, we couldn't be with him because he's a high risk. My wife's high risk. So basically, we don't go nowhere when I come home. Going back to my dad's, he had cancer, and somehow he got the COVID in at Christmas time, and he was in the hospital for a week. But he came out okay, and he got the infusion when he found out he had COVID before he went in, and so he got the antibiotics. I think Lily probably makes that. And that's why I'm proud of being where I'm at, working at Lily. I try to watch what I do at work, and sometimes it's hard. We have guidelines posted where my job is doing gowning. Well, one gowning station has three people. So I have to go out and stop my job and go outside and wait for them to come through there. And it gets kind of frustrating because I'm trying to do my job the best I can. I feel like we're letting up on stuff when we should be still watching what we're doing. outside of Lilly, you know, you go to gas stations, people aren't wearing masks. It becomes more personal when it's somebody you know, like my dad, and he came out okay. We're thankful that he did. But there's a lot of people that we know that died from this, you know. You know, I'm still concerned. I'm more concerned now about my personal safety. I heard that taking vitamin D will help me, so I started taking that. They're pretty good. They're yummy one there. It didn't take a rocket scientist to figure out when this COVID happened, you know, and people want to take care of themselves. You kind of wonder if it's ever going to go away and what happens if it don't go away. You know, we need some sort of backup system in case, you know, it doesn't go away. There's new strands are coming out. And it's kind of actually kind of scary, too, you know. The union's going for a new contract for SBM to get more money. On my part, you know, I still don't feel like I'm essential. I feel like I'm replaceable, expendable. We need to be respected. We need to get more pay. If we have another lockdown, we need to get the essential pay. You know, going to our contract, we need something in there like health care. We want health care on the last contract, but I can't afford it. When the vaccinations come out for me, I'll probably take it as another layer of protection, but we can't rely on the vaccination alone. We still have to use common sense.
That's Dennis Osborne, who is a janitorial contractor who works at Eli Lilly. In an effort to try to help parents get their youngsters and themselves ready for higher education, one of Ivy Tech Community College's local campuses is partnering with a Gary Charter School to teach a class for parents, introducing them to the benefits of a college education. Let's find out more about the course that's underway right now. We have with us from the Ivy Tech Lake County campus, the Director of Student Life, Edith Sanchez, and Janae Beleza, who we know, of course, with her work with the Indiana Parenting Institute, but she is also a member of the Ivy Tech Lake County Board of Trustees, and they're both with us to talk about the program. Ladies, thank you for joining us on the program today.
Thank you.
If you will, and maybe, Edith, I'll let you take the first question. If you explain to us the importance of parents being involved in knowing what their youngsters may want to look for as far as higher education is concerned.
Well, I think it's very important for parents to support their children on whatever it is they might choose to as a career and in their future. And sometimes students are kind of undecided and they kind of need that parent to support them into putting them down the right path and maybe just taking their general studies and meanwhile they figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Now, Janae, you, I know, as a member of the Board of Trustees for the local Ivy Tech campuses, are very concerned that the young people that are going through in this particular case, the charter school education, because we're talking about the Charter School of the Dunes and getting involved with Ivy Tech Lake County. What's the key that the charter school students should know as they're getting ready for their education to look beyond even high school?
Well, let me just say one of the reasons that we kind of came up with the idea of using the Ivy Tech Student Success course as an outreach tool is just because a lot of times we're pressing for families to encourage higher education and really haven't thought about the fact that a lot of first-time generation students, their parents don't even have a point of reference by which to encourage that except to just go to college. And so we thought maybe allowing them to have an experience with it gives them more of a point of reference with which to recommend and encourage their students in that direction. And so that's where it came from. And because there's a push statewide to get adults back in, not just, you know, if you need a degree, but just to consider changing your skill base or augmenting your skill base so that you can continue to be relevant in the job market, that's something to bring to their attention and have them consider as well. So it's got a lot of valuable points to it that will help both parent and child see the benefits of higher education beyond just that 2 to 4 years in college, that you can always go back and acquire more skills and greater knowledge and mm-hmm. thus be worth more in the labor market.
I see. Edith, if you will, tell us about how the partnership developed between Ivy Tech Lake County and the Charter School of the Dunes to get this particular program going.
Well, I think it was Janae, and Janae, if you could jump in as well, because you know more about that. Janae is the one that came to the chancellor with this idea, and the chancellor thought it was great, and she's the one that has the contact with the Dunes Charter School and kind of put all this together, and she can explain more. She's mm-hmm. the main person and all that created this and is the mastermind behind this project.
Okay, Janae.
Oh, come on.
I love well, the way she says that.
I'll let you answer the question. Go right ahead.
I would love to answer the question. It's just the mastermind part was kind of funny. But anyway, but I appreciate the compliment. Cheryl, who is the parent liaison over at Charter School of Dunes, came to Indiana Parenting Institute wanting to figure out how to improve parent engagement, which is a problem throughout the school districts in several of the Northwest Indiana communities. And so I had just been at a cabinet meeting, and as she was talking about what it was that she was looking for with her parents, I thought about a conversation I had with Sue Elsterman about their student success course, and I said, you know what, I wonder if we could utilize this in that capacity. So I kind of came up, based upon what Cheryl had shared with me, about what that could look like, based upon seeing what the classes were that they taught in their regular first-generation student success course. And I presented that to Chancellor Louie, and he thought it was something that we could work.
That's
how it was born. And we're, you know, I don't see it so much as an education experience, but more so as an enlightening experience, and for the parents, and an outreach experience, an outreach opportunity for Ivy Tech. So because I think that allowing people to kind of try before you buy is a really good way to get them connected to it and go, oh, this is what this is about. So, and that's why, and that was a benefit that I presented to the college while saying to the parents that, you know, you walk away from this experience with a college credit, you know, and so there's a lot of folks who probably never thought that they would even get into college, and to even have that opportunity is something that we hope whets their appetite for more.
That's great. Will you go into more detail, tell us more about this 8-week student success course for parents of the middle schoolers? How does it get broken down? And since we're, as we speak right now, kind of in the halfway point or pretty close to it, how has it gone so far?
Well, actually, we just started it, and I'm going to do a soft handoff to Edith for this point because she's getting ready to teach some classes. But we launched last week. And it's going to be a mixture of skills to help them with their parenting, especially parenting a student as they work their way through secondary into post-secondary. These are middle schoolers, but still, preparation should really be starting at that point. And then the other side is acquainting them with what university life is like. So Edith is our person who's going to be showing them what an Ivy Tech student studies, kind of what they go through, so that they have that experience as well. So I'll let her kind of give you an idea of what she's going to be teaching in this week.
Okay, go ahead, Edith.
Yes. So Ivy Tech, we're on the 8-week course model. So our beginning of our 8-week, like Janae said, was just last week. So that was our launch. So they're going to do 8 weeks of our modules, and they are meeting Tuesdays and Thursdays from 6 to 7, mixed with virtual and in-person. But our first week was getting most of out of your education. This week, I'll be touching skills, our money. We'll be talking about time management and digital literacy, to name just a few topics. We're going to have a module with We Are Family, Chaos Be Gone, Handling Distractions, Workforce Ready, Navigating and Leveraging Resources. And finally, we have arrived and kind of summarizing our whole 8-week module with them.
How are you all getting the courses taught? Obviously, it's probably a combination of virtual as well as in person. And where are they being done?
We're doing them virtually. Community partners and teachers within the Ivy Tech system to help teach these different topics around parenting a student and being a student. So basically what happens is, she wanted to describe the dashboard to them, Ivy Learn, so that they can understand how the parents are going to be utilizing that.
Yes, we have a shell on our Canvas system that they access. And we have Zoom links for our virtual classes and all their modules and assignments and discussion boards are all just like any one of our regular college classes are in them, and they have access to that portal, and they'll be doing all our virtual online classes via Zoom with, as Janae said, guest instructors from the community as well as from the college. And then our first initial one was at the Dunes Charter School, and then our graduation at the end will also be in person.
That's great. I understand that when things wrap up with the final session on May 13th, that you have a very special day, I guess, for the parents as well as for the students that are going to benefit from this.
Yeah, we really wanted to, like we said, the purpose of this is really to give parents, especially those who are the parents of first-generation students, to have an opportunity to have this this college experience.
Mm-hmm.
So basically with that happening, we want to celebrate their accomplishment and share it with their kids. So what will happen is in that final session, they're going to have that session on site at the East Chicago campus and get an opportunity to actually see some classes going on. Like we're hoping that we can have a welding class, the welding teacher and a student there, so they can see what life is like in that kind of experiential environment at Ivy Tech, and then to just understand what their opportunities are in terms of degrees and careers that they mm-hmm. can go after. So it's that nice kind of your parents graduating, be there to celebrate, but also let's really get a hands-on experience of where we could end up.
I know it may be a little early to think about this, but I'm sure it's probably in the backs of both of your minds. Do you think this may be a course that may be continued beyond just this very first session?
That is the goal. I mean, our hope is that we have found something that parents will enjoy, that there's several benefits from it, and that it will not only help them to better guide their student toward higher education, but that it will also guide them towards seeing how they can utilize higher education to improve their livelihood as well.
Now, what kind of reaction have you gotten so far, even though it's very early in the course, since it only began a little while ago and you have at least a month and a half to go? What kind of reaction, at least at the outset, have you gotten?
Well, I was at the first one because we wanted all of the partners to be there to introduce ourselves to the parents since it was in person. And they just seemed very excited about the opportunity and eager and interested to see what was going to result from this experience because it was something new for them. Edith was at the second session because it meets Tuesdays and Thursdays mm-hmm. from 6. Is it? Edith, is it 6 to 7 or 5 to 6? I think it's 6 to 7. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so Edith was there for the second session because she was helping them to navigate the dashboard. And so she can tell you what she gathered from that experience.
Yeah. What's your assessment of the one session, the very first one that you attended?
The parents seemed excited. It's great to see how engaged they were in and their students, academic lives. And I love the idea of them taking this class to be more of a part of their students' lives and their future academic life. And hopefully they'll see that as an opportunity as well for themselves to enroll in college in the future. And they were just as excited in the second session, very asking a lot of questions, very interested in the material that was presented. So overall, I think it's been so far a great experience for the parents, and they seem eager for the classes coming up this week.
Well, it is Sanchez, who is the director of student life with the Ivytech Lake County campus here in Lake County, and Janae Beleza, who is a member of the Ivytech Lake County Board of Trustees, are both with us talking about the establishment of an introductory course for parents of middle schoolers who are attending the Charter School of the Dunes in Gary. And they get a chance to learn about the opportunities of what a college education will bring, so they in turn can certainly direct their students, their children, along towards that path in the future. And ladies, thank you very much for being with us to talk about it. And the best of luck as the session continues until it comes up to its end in May. Then thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Janae and Needy say that this is a pilot program. It's conducted with the hopes of expansion to all schools within the Ivytech Community College Lake County campus area. That's it for Regionally Speaking for today. I'm Chris Nolte. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back with you tomorrow.